This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. David Bowie is one of the most influential musicians of the 20th century. His popular songs such as Space Oddity, Changes, and Young Americans endure. Bowie released his final album, Black Star, in January 2016. 2 days later, he died. And while he never had the chance to perform its songs live, an orchestral adaptation of Black Star will have its Midwest premiere on Friday at Stiefel Theater with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Jazz saxophonist Donnie McCaslin and his band recorded Black Star with David Bowie 10 years ago. St. Louis Public Radio Arts and Culture senior reporter Jeremy Goodwin talked with McCaslin about that experience and the boost the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra will give to the music in St. Louis.
You'd worked with David on one song a year or two before recording this record. When he came to see you and your band play at Little 55 Bar in Greenwich Village, did you know he was scouting you to maybe be the band on his next album?
Well, yes, I did. He came down with Maria Schneider, who is a great composer who I've worked with for years. And she was really the one who suggested to David that he do something with me and my band. So I knew they were coming down, and it was one of those situations where I just tried to forget about it and not look in the audience too much and just focus on the music at hand because, I knew there was a lot on the line with them coming to hear us live.
Did you tell the band?
I only told Mark Giuliana because he was involved in the recording we were doing with Maria's band, the collaboration that she did with David. So Mark knew, but I didn't tell Tim or Jason. And afterwards, they were grateful that I didn't tell them.
When you got the gig, did he articulate to you what he was hearing that he wanted?
He gave me brushstrokes, for which I was really grateful, because with those brushstrokes, it just gave so much room for my creative imagination to go. And what I mean by that more specifically is he sent songs as demos, home demos that he'd made leading up to the first round of recordings. And these demos had, you know, all the elements of the songs, but there was a lot of room inside them for orchestration, you know. So I felt like I could just go for it in terms of orchestrating things for the woodwinds that I play. And when we got to the recording studio the first day, one of the things he said to me was, I want you to just feel free to go for whatever you're hearing. You know, don't worry about this being classified as jazz or rock or whatever. Don't worry about the genre. Just feel free to go with what you're feeling. And he turned to Mark and said, yeah, any polyrhythmic thing you want to play on the drums, you know, feel free, absolutely free. So that was such an empowering thing for him to do on the first day, you know, to give us the green light to be as creative as we wanted to be. And he really set the tone for how the sessions went. You know, we just went forth with that attitude. And it was wonderful. You couldn't ask for a more creative environment to be working in.
Well, Bowie was, of course, a musical shapeshifter throughout his career, but even still, Black Star stands out for its jazz DNA. And by the way, spiced with a lot of breakbeats that almost remind us of his takes on drum and bass music. Is this a sound that you all found in the room, or is this what you were doing anyway?
At that point, my group, we were sort of exploring this hybrid of bass and drum, electronica music, improvisation. We were exploring the intersection of those different influences. And I remember one of the songs he sent me, he'd been listening to a record of mine called Casting for Gravity. He said, the feeling of this is like a specific track from the record. And so I think he was listening to us, and we, of course, were listening to what he was sending us. And I think some of what he wrote was informed by what he was hearing us do in his investigation. And of course, we were just open and excited to delve into whatever he sent us.
There are moments on the album that are very aware of mortality, particularly Lazarus, for which he recorded a video that was largely him in bed with buttons over his eyes.
Look up here, I'm in heaven. I've got scars that can't be seen. I've got drama, can't be stolen. Everybody knows me now.
We now know David Bowie was receiving chemotherapy during the time of the sessions. Did you know David was sick?
Yes. Yeah, we talked about it, the first day. You know, when he was in the studio, he was just utterly focused and engaged and had so much focus. It was amazing. You never had the sense that he was ill.
At this point, what sticks out in your mind from the recording process? Are there moments that you come back to?
Yeah, I mean, one is when we were recording Lazarus. I remember I was in the saxophone booth looking straight ahead, and there was David's profile because he was singing right outside my saxophone booth. And I just remember imagining my saxophone as a pillow around his voice. And it was such a magical kind of moment to feel that way and to have it play out that way. And I felt free enough just to ride that feeling and to be able to just feel like I was inside his voice and just trying to add beauty and comfort around it. That was like a magical moment where everything really felt like it connected for me. One last iconic moment to me was the song Dollar Days. You know, for most of these, as I'd mentioned, we had demos ahead of time and we had prepared and were ready to go. But one afternoon, we had kind of finished what had been planned for the day, and he just picked up an acoustic guitar and started strumming something. You know, what do you guys think of this? Within a few minutes, we were out at the piano. Jason Lindner was at the piano and David was playing guitar, and you know, working on the bridge, you know, teaching it to Jason. And then we were all out there sort of around the piano, and I suggested something for a modulation for the saxophone solo, and then just felt like a few minutes later, we had all our instruments. We started tracking this thing, you know, and he didn't really have the lyrics set. There was placeholder lyrics. But it all happened so quickly that I forgot about it, you know, and it just, the whole thing from the time he picked up the acoustic guitar till we had done two or three takes, it seemed like it just flew by, you know, let's say an hour and a half or something, so much so that I completely forgot about it. And when I heard the song for the first time on the Black Star record, I was like, what is this? You know, it all kind of came back to me after a few bars, but it just was such a beautiful, organic moment. And that song for me is just so utterly poignant and so melancholy and so filled with emotion the way he sings it. It's really beautiful.
Well, it's impossible for me to hear this album outside of its context, which is that the world didn't know he was working on a record. The world didn't know he was sick. And then he released this wonderfully dark and rumbling and ominous album on his 69th birthday. And 2 days later, he died. When you're just out in your life and you come across a reference to David Bowie Black Star, what's the first thing you feel?
You know, it's been different feelings at different periods since all this happened. I would feel a well of emotion come up. You know, I remember walking into the sushi restaurant in my neighborhood with my kids and Lazarus was on, you know, the radio, and it felt really loaded emotionally, primarily because of David's passing. I guess at times also marveling at how beautiful the record is and feeling so happy to have been a part of something that like that, that felt like it was really high art, and all with all these different elements combined into this just beautiful, beautiful record. It was such an affirming experience. So that's part of it too. But I think for a lot of time, it just felt heavy emotionally.
Something happened.
David Bowie didn't have the chance to play these songs live. And I know you'd gotten offers to play the album as a complete piece live in the past and turned them down. Why is Black Star Symphony now the right way to bring this material to the stage?
I was working in Europe with the Metropole Orchestra, and we were doing a program of my music from a record called Blow. But in addition to that, we added one of my favorite Bowie songs, which is Look Back in Anger, and another one called War Sallow, which I love. And hearing those in an orchestra setting was really moving. And I was sitting at dinner with Jules Buckley, who was my creative partner in this project, and the idea just came up, like, what about doing Black Star with an orchestra? And suddenly that made sense. And I thought, you know, this would be something that David would be into if we do this right. You know, if we use Black Star as the DNA of this symphony project, not necessarily do everything note by note from the record, but more like take the DNA from the record, reimagine it for orchestra, band, and create a new piece of art, that would be something that I think he would really be interested in, moving the art forward, moving Black Star forward. And that was what has led to this moment where we're now performing it live.
And sometimes when a record by someone who's thought of as a rock artist or pop artist, the orchestral version is sometimes kind of just takes what was there and inflates it a bit, sort of puffs it up a bit and makes it louder right. And more sweeping and more dramatic. It sounds like that's not exactly what you're doing here.
No. I mean, I've seen those things where it feels like orchestras are playing, you know, what we call footballs behind the band. You know, they're just adding a layer. But really, the intention here was to have the orchestra be integrated thoroughly with the band and with the singers. That was the modus operandi that I set out with. And I, you know, I worked with Maria Schneider. She's a part of this. Tony Visconti, you know, David's longtime partner, producer, did an arrangement for this. Jules Buckley, Tim Davies, Jamshid Sharifi, Michael Dudley, and all of these folks, when I worked with them, you know, I gave them a green light. Like, I had the green light to make Black Star. My green light to all these folks was like, let's push this further. Let's see where we can take it, you know? And yeah, the orchestra is just highly integrated. And that's the way, when this is at its zenith, it's when all of those elements are combined and the audience hears this combination of all those mixed perfectly together.
What's a moment in the orchestral Black Star where you feel like, yeah, this is what I was trying to do here?
Girl Loves Me. Yeah. On the original version, there's, let's call it a breakdown section.
Mm-hmm.
On the record, it stays in one key. It's an event, and then it moves on to the next event in the song. And in this version, it modulates harmonically, and then the 12-8 rhythmic language that's happening at that moment is sort of dispersed around the orchestra. So it really moves beautifully through some different key centers, and also just orchestration-wise, it's really lush and really involved. So that's one I love.
You know, in some alternate timeline, is there any part of this program that you just would really like David to have been able to hear?
Absolutely. The whole thing. Yeah. I would have loved for that to happen. And it's something I've talked about with Gail Ann Dorsey. You know, she is a featured singer in this project. And as you likely know, she worked in his band for many years. You know, she was the one who did Under Pressure with David. She played bass, but also sang beautifully. In his group, and that's kind of the litmus test for us with this project. Would this be something that David would have wanted to hear? Would he have enjoyed this? Would he have been proud of this? And that's always what all the musical decisions in this project, that's the question that I ask, and I ask it of Gail, and we talk about that. And so far the answer has been yes, and we want to keep it that way.
That's musician Donnie McCaslin speaking with St. Louis Public Radio's arts and culture senior reporter Jeremy Goodwin. Black Star Symphony will have its Midwest premiere this Friday at Stiefel Theater with the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. Our thanks to Jeremy for this story, which included music from David Bowie, the Charlotte Symphony, and the National Symphony Orchestra.
This episode was produced and engineered by Jeremy Goodwin, with editing assistance from our executive producer, Alex Hoyer. Podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.